Although many of us strive to be the best dad we can be, many physicians struggle with finding balance between their life at home and their life at work. This is the Imperfect Dad MD podcast, the show where we discuss topics involving our minds, bodies, beliefs, relationships at home, and upping our game with our business practices and financial knowledge to better improve our role as dad in the lives of those around us. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, physician, husband, father to two boys, and self-proclaimed imperfect dad. Join me as I learn to raise my own imperfections within all these topics. Now, let's get to today's discussion. Hello and welcome to the Imperfect Dad MD podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, and in today's episode, I have an interview with Dr. Michael Hirsch. Now, Michael Hirsch is a gastroenterologist, a husband, and a father, but he's also a physician coach at Better Physician Life Coaching. He coaches physicians on life balance, goal setting, money mindset, self-confidence, and even relationships, all very important topics and topics we cover in this podcast a lot. Now, a lot of people have had some questions about coaches. What are they? What are these physician coaches and life coaches in general? And there's a lot of topics out there. Life coaching has become a little bit of a hot topic over the last, say, 6 months to a year. There's definitely some out there that maybe are not up to par on it. But Michael, I think, is one of those guys that does a really good job with these topics and really something I think people should check out. We're going to talk about what got him into it, why it got him interested in coaching, and why he's doing it. He was definitely one of those people who was very hesitant about coaching before he got into it. And so we're going to talk about that in this episode if you're interested. Now, before we get into it, if you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the show. Subscriptions means that when you subscribe, you get notified when a new show comes out, so it's easier to find those episodes as soon as they're available. If you haven't yet, leave a review. 5-star reviews on this show really helps this show go up in the rankings, which means that if people are searching for this content, they can find it easier. Because let's be honest, like I always say, I'm just trying to reach as many dads as possible with these episodes. And finally, if you got a friend who you think is going to get something out of this, share these episodes with a friend. With that said, let's hear from Michael. All right, I'm here with Dr. Michael Hirsch. Michael, thanks for taking time out of your schedule today to talk dad life with me and just kind of a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, hey, Jeremy. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me. You know, I really enjoy your podcast. I love it. And the first time I even saw the name, Imperfect Dad MD, I'm like, oh my gosh, this just resonates with me so much because that's, I think that of all the identities, I think that's what I am. I'm definitely an imperfect dad.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's one that, you know, kind of came out of nowhere for me real quick. And it obviously continues to still fit, you know, 2 years or however many years it's been later. So it's definitely, definitely a continuous work in progress, which is for sure the whole point of the whole thing. So, but yeah, so for people out there who aren't familiar with who you are, what you do, can you just kind of give a brief background on what you do and what kind of side projects you do and those kind of things?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I'm a gastroenterologist and I live in Chicago. I am married and I have two children. I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son. I am originally from New York. I moved to St. Louis for my training. That's where I met my wife, who was living in Chicago at that point in time. We dated long distance for 2 years and then decided to set up shop in Chicago. So right out of training, I joined an independent multi-specialty group. And I've been very lucky. I've seen that group kind of change over the last 13 years that I've been in practice. What was initially an independent group became bought by our local community hospital, and that community hospital became a part of a much larger system. So I've, in my career, already started to see so many of the changes in medicine, and what I initially, you know, obviously starting new in practice, just looking to get things built up, and I really built this very busy practice. And that is what I always wanted. And then as it got busier and busier, it really started to weigh on me so much. And, I didn't see the burnout coming. Right. And I think most of us don't, you just kind of are always moving towards the next thing. And so that is kind of what led me, I'll kind of just say that. So that is what led me to coaching. And eventually you were kind of getting at what am I doing now? So I'm also a coach for physicians that focuses on things like burnout, overwhelm, balance. And these are all of the things that I found myself struggling with as I kind of progressed in my career.
Yeah, I definitely think the whole concept of burnout is such a, it seems like such a common topic now when it comes to physicians, but yet I still feel like we don't address it enough or address it probably in the right way. Because I feel like, you know, so many of the people who per se are in the, you know, try to help with burnout, and I can't help but look at, you know, my own hospital system or systems around us. It's typically someone who's not a physician who's experienced burnout. It is somebody else that thinks they know what's going on with it, but really aren't. So I think, you know, for you getting into that side of it after having experienced it is such an important, you know, resource for people to have. And, you know, coaching is definitely one of those things that I wasn't familiar with pre-COVID, but now it's definitely, I feel like, becoming a lot more not a common thing, but people are definitely hearing about it more. So, you know, for you with coaching, yeah, how did you get introduced to it, and what are you finding from doing it right now? Like how do you feel like it's helping you?
Yeah. So I'm not even sure I knew what I was looking for when I found it. Just like you, I had started hearing people talk about it. And I mentioned to you early on that I grew up in New York, and that was strategic because the point is that I grew up with a healthy bit of cynicism and skepticism. That is like built into who I am. And so people started talking about coaching, and I don't know. There's just a part of me that just thought, oh, you know, this is for other people.
Yes, right? The this internal head shake. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, oh, thanks for talking about wellness. But that's not for me. And I got onto a call with a coach that was offering a program. It was kind of an introductory program, and I kind of was didn't seem like it was for me. And the coach felt that and asked me probably the most pivotal question maybe I've ever been asked, and the question that led to the transformation that I never knew I wanted or needed, which was, if you don't do this, then what will change? And that was the question that just struck such a chord in me that I was like, you know what? He's right. If I don't do this, then I'm just going to keep spinning in this world that I don't really want to be living in. I'm going to keep feeling like something is missing. And I don't think I knew what I was signing up for when I did it. And so that is how I found coaching.
That's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. It's always those simple, what seems like simple questions, but ones we never think to ask ourselves. I remember the first time I went to a kind of a coaching thing like that as well, just kind of watching. It was like a group thing, and I was just like, I have no clue what I'm supposed to expect from this. But at the end of it, I was like, that was seriously one of the most incredible things I've ever like just experienced doing. Cause it's just things that you don't, you know, it seems like it should be something simple, but it's just not. And it's just such a cool thing. So you are doing coaching now. Did you go through any kind of certification, or what did you do for that?
I did. I went through a, I was in coaching for a while. I got so much out of it. And I will just tell you that this is actually something else that came out of coaching, is that my goal was never to be an entrepreneur. That is not an identity that I ever saw for myself. I knew my identities, right? I am a physician. I am a husband. I am a dad. And entrepreneur was never in my vocabulary, right? But the personal growth and transformation that I saw in myself, this is just something that we all need, right? This is something that just needs to be brought out on a much larger scale. So I did. I ended up embarking on a 6-month coaching certification process, and similarly to the initial journey, I'm not entirely sure I understood what was going to be involved in that. And even that in and of itself has brought on so much additional kind of transformation and growth. And then, yes, I started a business, and it's been incredible. And doing all the things that I had always told myself that I didn't have the capacity for or the ability for.
That's cool. That's awesome. And then you feel like, are you still doing the gastroenterology then along with the coaching, or how did that change that side of you, I guess you'd say? Because, you know, like you said, initially you identified, I'm a physician, this is what I do. And now you got that coaching hat. How's that shifted that or changed that identification for you?
Yeah. And I'll say that this is an ongoing process for sure, right? This is not a transformation complete moving on to the next thing. Because I do still garner a lot of my identity from my role as a gastroenterologist. So I still practice full time. I'll tell you how I think it has changed, in that I have created boundaries where they did not previously exist. And incredible how even working the same number of days a week, but being a little bit more thoughtful on what my boundaries are, when I am seeing patients, when I am doing procedures, when I am not doing those things, and being also very mindful of what I am saying yes to, and feeling more comfortable saying no to the things that I don't want to do, that has been probably one of the greatest things for me.
That's awesome. That's cool. And then I guess that from the dad side of things, how do you feel like that's helped there? Because, you know, I think with being a parent, so much of it is very much mindset. And before that coaching, it sometimes it's hard to kind of recognize that. So how do you feel like the whole coaching aspect is helped in that regard for you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a little multifaceted, right? So we talked a little bit, I coach on balance. And balance is so interesting, right? So mm-hmm. we all, and if you notice, I specifically don't say work-life balance, because my personal opinion on that is that that does not exist, right? Yeah. And we try to pigeonhole, right? We build, as physicians, we spend our entire life working on developing our career, right? And so I have this identity, and then we get through our training, we finish, and then we think that there's going to be this shift where, okay, now I am just going to be a dad. I'm just going to be a husband, right? But we turn work into its own entity, but really that's our life, right? Most of us spent our entire 20s doing this. This was our life. And then we try to pigeonhole it as work. We can't do that, right? It is part of our life. And so I really like the concept of life-life balance, right? And knowing that there is going to be a part of our life where we are at work, and then there's going to be a part of our life when we're at home, and being very intentional about making sure that we know kind of that each thing is going to have its own place. And we get to do everything, but just not all at the same time.
That's cool. Yeah, I definitely see balance. That is a hard word. Everybody has their opinion on what is balance. Is there a true work-life balance? Is it integration? Is it time management? And then people will discuss, well, time's not a real thing. And I get so confused when I hear all these conversations. So I kind of like your approach to it. It is a life-life balance. I kind of like that one. That makes it easier for my brain to wrap around it a little.
100%.
Yeah. So kind of talk to me, I guess, with the coaching for you, like so are you still being coached as you coach, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I think anybody that experiences it's when I like to think about coaching like an athlete would think about coaching, right? Mm-hmm. You never, even high level athletes never get to a point where they don't need a coach, right? Because the things that you initially need coaching on, they do get better, but they also uncover a lot of other stuff that's under there that then also requires its own coaching. And so coaching is really about up-leveling. Right? Mm-hmm. It's about getting yourself to the next version of yourself. And so I absolutely still have my own coach. And you also get a lot of growth out of coaching others, right? You see the same struggles and you get to then bring kind of your experience and your transformation to others in that process.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we forget that. Cause like you were mentioning, you know, with medical school, you get through it, you get through residency, you're like, oh, I'm done. I finally get to be out there. But there really never is any done, because you're still figuring things out. It's something different. But you're absolutely still figuring things out with medicine too. So it's that's definitely a big thing. So for you, with you and how you do coaching, what's the process for you? What, you know, how do people kind of get started with you, and kind of what's that look like? Just kind of like on a surface level. I know you can't, you know, get into the whole depths of it all, but surface level, what's coaching like with you?
Yeah. So, you know, I think everybody comes to coaching with different goals. And so in terms of what coaching is like for me, it's first a little bit of an kind of a digging expedition, right? Mm-hmm. What are your goals? Where do you want to see yourself, right? And some people just want to get out of the overwhelm, right? They just want to be able to be present with their family when they're present with their family. And that's one journey. Other people find themselves dealing with a lot of frustration at work. And maybe some of that comes from overwhelm. And maybe some of it comes from, you know, disempowerment, right? So the first thing is really figuring out, okay, well, what's the surface level thing? What is holding you back at this point in time? And then getting a little bit more about, okay, so you feel frustrated, but why? Mm-hmm. Right. And then it turns into, you know, we investigate that aspect from different angles. Because you'll find that if you are frustrated with something at work, a lot of times that then is going to translate to something that's going on at home as well. My kids won't go to bed. And I find that really frustrating, right? And the same tools that you use to deal with the frustrations at work can then be applied to the same frustrations at yeah. home at bedtime.
Absolutely. Bedtime's always, always a good time. So is after school. For those listening, we're recording this right before I go pick up my children after school. And as we all know, after school is not always easy. And I'm definitely getting my mindset prepared for that as well as of right now. So I'll keep you updated on how well that goes today. Every day is a new process. So yeah. And so I guess, you know, transitioning that, do you find yourself utilizing it a lot more as a dad now and as a parent than maybe kind of before?
Say that, utilizing the coaching?
Like your coaching skills, like just yeah. the things you've learned through coaching and the mindset. And I guess I'll preface that, but add on to it. Do you try to teach your kids? Do you ever try to coach your kids on it? Like to the abilities that they are? Because you and I have kids similar ages, although yeah. ours are boys, 9 and 5. And you have, your oldest is a girl, you said?
Yes, that's right.
So obviously, I mean, they feel like they still definitely approach things a little bit different from their mindsets and things like that. But yeah. Do you notice that, number one, has it helped you more as a dad? Number two, do you notice yourself trying to utilize those skills more for your kids to learn?
100%.
Yeah.
I think from a how I approach fatherhood standpoint, I think I have, through my own coaching, dug into how kind of shame shows up for us in life. And, you know, I have a 5-year-old boy, right? And it is very easy to, and without even recognizing how we shame our children, thinking that that will result in good behavior, and learning when he does something that is a behavior that we would prefer he not do, learning how to admonish the behavior while simultaneously making sure that he knows that he's loved no matter what he does. Mm-hmm. And that's 100% coaching, right? That is not how I approached parenting before finding this work. Yeah. And my kids are both a mixture of my wife and I, and it's so fun and fascinating and frustrating to watch in all of the most amazing ways. But my daughter gets from me this overwhelming sense of worry. And I don't think I was ever given the tools to deal with always worrying about what's next. And so trying from a very small way perspective to try and introduce tools to her on how to recognize, like, worrying doesn't change things and it's wasted energy, and finding, you know, appropriate ways to teach that to an 8-year-old, I think has been fun for me, but also empowering and hopeful that maybe she will get to a different point sooner than I did. She's not gonna have to wait till her mid-40s to figure this stuff out.
Yeah, I think so much about the things I know now versus what I was taught at those ages, and gosh, how things could be different for me. Well, I assume how things could be different for me at that point. So yeah, a lot of times I try to use it. I probably try to overuse some of the skills with my kids. So for those listening, I am not a certified coach. I know a lot about it. I read up on a lot about it. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, but I'm obviously not a certified coach, nor do I do coaching at this point. But I definitely utilize the skills in everything I try to do with my patients and myself and also my kids. But I definitely, my biggest hard thing is I think they can critically think like I can sometimes. And so I try to use things that I do for them, and it definitely does not work out very well. So that's I think that's sometimes probably one of the harder things, is like you know what you need them to think of, well, what you want them to think about or how they should maybe kind of go through it. But then it's like, okay, now I have to take that though and put it at an 8-year-old's level. And how do you do that? I think that's really hard because in parenting, that's parenting, right? You know, it's, you want your kids to think the way you think, but they don't. And how the heck do you get them to understand? And that's not an easy topic or task or ability to do sometimes.
Can I share with you kind of an easy way or kind of a relatively simple way to teach a child about kind of worrying and the different parts of their brain?
That would be awesome.
It's the idea of an owl sitting in a tree and a barking dog kind of at the base of the tree, right? And the barking dog is kind of that automatic dialogue, kind of the negative self-talk that we have. And of course, the owl represents our wisdom, right? And so when you have kind of those automatic responses to like the stress and the worry and all the things, the dog starts to bark and the owl flies away, right? And so you lose your wisdom in those moments. And so getting a child to understand a little bit, all we have to do, you know, it's kind of just like when our dog, I have a dog, her name is Dory. And so when we are trying to calm her down, maybe we will pay more attention to her, we'll pet her, we will, you know, maybe give her a treat or put her in her crate where she is more confined and has a little bit more kind of boundaries and things like that. So we have all of these techniques to quiet the barking dog, so that we can gain our wisdom back, right? Mm-hmm. And so kind of using that to help a child understand these different parts of our brain and how when you can kind of take control of the part that seems like you don't have control over, how that can kind of bring all of your wisdom back.
That's cool. I like that. That's a good analogy. I'm going to absolutely 100% steal that.
Awesome.
But we'll give you all credit whenever it is utilized. That's cool. Well, awesome, man. That's great. What else? I mean, I know coaching opens up so much for people, I think, with that. And, you know, just like you talking about there just now with that, kind of relating that to your kids. Any pearls of wisdom out there for dads specifically? You know, I mainly speak to dads, but obviously, you know, the whole burnout and things affects both moms and dads in similar fashions. But just what you've learned about yourself through coaching or coaching other physicians, just on that dad side, major tips, things like that, that you feel like would be helpful. And I know you touched on balance a little bit there. And if you want to go more down that road, you can. But yeah, what's something you typically go for that?
Well, I think a lot of us draw from our own experiences with our own kind of either dad or dad role model. And so, you know, for me, growing up, my dad role models were my stepdad and my grandfather. And my relationship with my dad was always a struggle. And I think that sometimes I've listened to a lot of your podcasts, and I know sometimes you ask that specific question, like who was your dad role model? And I actually really appreciate that you ask who's your dad role model, like not what was your relationship with your dad, because those two things can be not one and the same, right? So I received so much love from my stepfather, who did kind of all the things. He moved me in and out of every apartment or house I ever lived in. He taught me how to drive, all the things that you would expect. And, you know, from my grandfather, who just showed his grandchildren so much love and so much capacity for love and for giving. But I didn't have that with my own dad, right? And from a coaching perspective, there's so much there, right? That you put that pressure of the relationship that you had with all of these other dad figures on who you are as a father. And through coaching, learning to hold on to the things that serve you and let go of the things that don't, right? You are not these other people, and you get to show up for your own children the way that you want to show up for your children. So you can let all the stuff that doesn't serve you go. And that is something that really weighed heavy for me for a long time. I was actively trying not to be my dad, right? And that didn't serve anybody. That didn't serve me. That didn't serve my children. But through coaching, learning to look, I had all these amazing role models that showed me exactly who I want to be as a dad, and focusing on that and not the other stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's a really good tip. And I think it's easy for some of us to focus only on that single father figure maybe we had. And maybe it was a really good figure and that's great. And then other cases, maybe it wasn't. And it's easy to get caught up on that versus looking at the other positives in life. So I think that's a great tip. So that's cool. Thank you, cool, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for, hopping on the show with me and talking physician coaching and a little bit of dad life and things like that. I know you're out of town right now from family, but probably heading back. I'm sure they're looking forward to you getting home and everything.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to ask you a silly social question. What's your favorite thing to do with your kids?
So one of the things, that I just love is like reading at bedtime. Mm-hmm. We were on a family trip back in January. And one of the parts of that trip that I remember the most is just like sitting by the pool with my daughter while she was reading and I was reading. And it was just kind of this moment that of all of the amazing things that happened on that trip, that is the part of the trip that sticks out the most with me. It was like that quiet moment where we're just kind of sitting next to each other, reading our own books, mm-hmm. not to each other or anything like that. I love that time. And the same thing with my son. He's learning to read, but his favorite time of day is when I get home from work and we just sit and read at bedtime together.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Bedtime reading, definitely very important. So
yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, thank you again for taking that time out. If people out there are listening and they're like, hey, I really want to learn more about this or reach out to you. How can people get to know you or find you online?
Sure thing. So my website is betterphysicianlife.com. I have some free resources on the website that focus on kind of building your dream life, as well as arrival fallacy, which is something that we have, as physicians, kind of deal a lot with, kind of always thinking that the next step of things are going to get better. And I've got a blog that addresses some of the stuff that we've been talking about here. Betterphysicianlife.com.
Awesome. Yeah. And we'll leave a link for that in the show notes with everything so people can find it easier there. So, well, thank you again. Appreciate it. Enjoy your trip. Stay safe.
So
yeah. And we'll talk to you again sometime. We'll have to get you back on the show, talk some more topics.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. You're doing amazing work here. So
I appreciate it, man. You too. Thanks.
Right. You got it.
No, I'd just like to thank Dr. Hirsch again for coming on the show with me, not just talking dad life, but talking coaching, talking about what got him into it, and hopefully kind of letting you take a look inside of what coaching is, why people are doing it, and why there's a little bit more talk about this. And again, if you're interested in reaching out to Dr. Michael Hirsch and kind of seeing what he's got to offer, I will leave a link to his website in the show notes so you can check that out. Otherwise, hope you guys are doing well. Hope you're staying safe and healthy. Remember to embrace those imperfections, and we'll see you next time.
My dad, Dr. Jeremy Toffel, is a pediatrician, father, and husband. The information provided in this podcast is not meant to be medical advice and is for your education and entertainment only.